This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Grace enhances your abilities to do more. Amen. You know, I don't know if anybody's into Marvel Universe. Anybody into, you know, the comic books? Anybody ever used to read comic books or watch the Marvel movies? But all these different Marvel characters are superheroes that have supernatural powers. And they use those supernatural powers for good. And so I'm going to say this. God has anointed you supernatural powers so that you can do good for God and for others. Amen. Somebody say, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
You got to believe that.
Yes.
You got to believe you're anointed. And we know this, that God anointed the early church. And it said in Acts 4:32-33, now the multitudes who believed were one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things known, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. And so this is powerful because the early church started out with the power of God. And I believe the latter church, which is where we're at today, will end with the power of God.
Amen.
Does anybody believe that? So I believe if they had power back then, and the Bible says the days are going to get worse, then we don't need less power. We need more power. They say more power. More grace. And so the subject of grace is big. And really, if you are a grace person, if you focus on grace, which means that you're focusing on, when you read your Bible, you're not reading just all the don'ts and what you cannot do. You should be reading what you can do in Christ. We should be focused on the grace promises in the Bible. And so when I read the Bible, it's like, you know, it's B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. And so when I'm reading the Bible, I want to just discover the grace that God has for me in my life. And see, a lot of times we think that God's grace came in when Jesus came in. And that's true. When Jesus came, God's grace came. The Bible says grace upon grace. Bible says that Jesus is truth and grace. Powerful. But, you know, God's grace started all in the book of Genesis, and it works its way all the way through the book of Revelation. Think about God's grace. When Adam and Eve sinned, God's grace, you know, kicked them out of the garden. And you say, well, how can that be grace? That's judgment. Because they would have eaten from the tree of life, and they would have stayed in a perpetual state of sin. They could not be redeemed. So God had to get them away from the tree of life. So basically God was protecting mankind because God had a better plan. Amen. Somebody say a better plan. And so God had a better plan for mankind. What's a better plan? Well, for us to get glorified bodies, for us to be renewed in Christ, for us to have Jesus come into our life. That's the better plan. And then God clothed Adam and Eve with clothes. He made clothes for them. So they were fashion icons in the book of Genesis. So if God makes your clothes, that's better than Ralph Lauren. Amen. And so they were fashion icons. And God's grace is always working through the Bible. And if you think about that God, even in bad situations, God's grace can work in it. Think about Noah. And when Noah was in this world, he was a preacher of righteousness. And the Bible says that God's favor was on Noah's life. And when you have God's favor, God tells you things. I'm going to say it again. When you have God's favor, God reveals things to you. He might reveal things about your children that you can pray about, that you can talk to them about. still things about your finances that you can pray about and that you can move forward in. He can reveal to you areas in your life where you might need to adjust. So when we get close to God, so with Noah, he said the world's coming to an end, that the world is full of sin. It's full of negativity. And he said, and God told Noah that he was going to flood the earth, but he's going to save Noah and his family. That's God's grace. God's grace reveals the truth that we need him. The reason why you're saved today is because God's grace woke you up. God's grace revealed to you that you need God. The problem with the world is they don't think they need God. And they need God. The world needs God. We are living in a corrupted, backwards world situation. When you got men playing in women's sports, that's backwards. When, are you hearing what I'm saying today? When they're okaying that in the Olympics, a male beating up on a female, that is perverse and that is wrong. And the Bible says in the end days, they'll be called evil good and good evil. And I'm going to say this, I can recognize evil and I can recognize good. And if you're in God, you'll be awake to know. And some people don't think that's bad. Is it bad for a man to believe that they're a woman? That's not a good thing. For a woman to believe that they're a man, that's not a good thing. God doesn't make mistakes. But the devil loves to deceive and lie and get people to believe a lie. And if you believe a lie, if you think about something long enough, and you believe and you think about it long enough, it becomes a stronghold. That stronghold becomes a pattern of thinking that you start to believe. That's the reason why you're in church today, because what we're doing is we're breaking down some bad patterns of thinking, glory to God, and hopefully I'm instilling some good patterns of thinking. Amen. Hopefully you're getting more like God in the house today. Amen. So we are living in a sin corrupted world system. And the Bible is very clear that it's going to get worse. In Isaiah 60, verse 2, it says, "Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." See, people that don't have Jesus in their life, they're just going to get worse. If they don't get Jesus, they're just going to go from bad to worse. And if you have Jesus, you're going to go from good to gooder. If you have Jesus, you're going to go from good to better. Is that better English? So you're going to get better in Christ, because the Bible says that the church will get lighter and the world will get darker. Amen. And so we're supposed to be moving up in God. See, I'm moving up in God. So we don't have to. We don't have to let this sin world dominate us. We can dominate sin and death and live a victorious life that Jesus Christ paid for us to walk in. You don't have to be under the circumstances. You can be on top of the circumstances.
Amen.
Amen. I like what it says in Romans 6:14. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace." Somebody say, "I'm not under the law. I'm under grace." So sin is synonymous to Satan. So if you can connect sin to Satan, and you can connect sin to sickness, you can say sin, sickness, and Satan cannot have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under the law of sin and death. The Bible talks about in Romans 8, there's two laws working. There's the law of life in Christ Jesus, and there's the law of sin and death that's operating in this world system. And as Christians, you got to be careful, because you can get under the law of sin and death. But you got to stay under the law of love, the law of life in Christ Jesus. How do you do that, Pastor? Abide in Him. Stay in Him. Don't get out of Him. Amen. And so for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So this verse really says that grace activates the power of God for us to walk away from sin. God's grace gives us a power to walk uprightly before a holy God. Amen? You might be struggling with some sin in your life. You might have some areas in your life that you might need to get fixed. I'm going to say this, God can fix it. His grace can fix any shortfalls in your life. Grace empowers us not to sin. It doesn't empower us to sin. In Titus 2:11 and 12, it says, "For by grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." Think about that. So grace, you see this, empowers us to walk righteously, soberly, godly in this present age. So grace is not a license to sin. I'm preaching today. In other words, Jesus paid it all. Grace covers anything that I do in my life. To a degree, to a certain degree, but you can cross the line. Can you? Oh, yeah. I believe you can. Cross a serious line. You don't want to cross the line with God. Jesus said, "Choose this day who you serve." So we have a daily choice. Every day to choose who we're going to serve. And for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. And there's no ands, ifs, buts about it. Some of us get our butt out of the way, glory to God. And we got to get God in our life. Say, I need God in my life. I love that. And I love this because really the key for us to walk out of sin, to have the grace of God to keep us in purity, the key is the next verse in Titus. It says, "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works." What Paul is saying to you today is that if we keep the promise, if we keep focus on the fact that Jesus could come back any moment, it should keep us on our P's and our Q's. Amen. It should keep us walking the straight and narrow path. Because if you knew without a shadow of doubt that Jesus was coming back tonight, you're definitely be in church, which you are today, but you will also be in prayer. You might even check yourself. God, is there any areas in my life? Because I don't want to miss the rapture. Even checking yourself. Make sure that you're in the faith. The Bible says, check yourself before you wreck yourself. And that's David vernacular, Pastor. In other words, we need a check to see if we're in the faith. If you're in the faith, you're in the love of God. So Jesus is coming back. The promise is here in Thessalonians. It says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." You know, some of my salutations, sometimes when I'm talking to you guys and we're about ready to leave church, leave the fellowship, I would say, "I'll see you here, there, or in the air." Here, there, or in the air. And we're going to meet Jesus in the air. Glory to God. That's powerful. Amen. And we got to be believing this, because this will keep us in a place where I call it rapture ready. We need to be living a rapture-ready life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? We can't get lax and laxy-daisy in our walk with God. We got to keep pressing in to the things of God every day. And I'm going to say this, it's easy to get laid back. It's easy to take a day off. It's easy to maybe not pray, maybe not read your word. You miss one day, you start missing 2 days, you start missing 3 days, and pretty soon you're not even in church anymore. They say that the person that's a professional musician, maybe in a pianist that plays in concerts, they say that if he quits practicing for a month, you would know. If he quits practicing for a week, his teacher would know. If he quits practicing for a day, he would know. What am I saying? We need to be practicing every day the kingdom of God. Amen? So we need to focus. Somebody say focus on Jesus. So for us to walk in purity before the Lord, we must focus on Jesus and His return. Amen. Let's look at the scripture again. For sin shall not have dominion over us, for you're not under the law, but under grace. This is powerful because God's grace removes the legalistic requirements of us trying to be performance based to obtain our right standing with God. In other words, we don't need to be performance based. We need to be focused on being relational based. And through our relationship, we'll walk right with God. And so if you're trying to walk right, you're going to fall. If you're trying to make it, oh, I'm trying to make it, Pastor. I'm trying to make it through. I'm trying to make it through a day without doing this wrong thing. I'm trying. That's the problem. You don't need to be trying. You need to be being. God's not telling you to do. He's telling you to be. What am I saying? Well, I'm saying by that. I'm saying that he's a being new creation in Christ. Be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Be victorious in Christ. He's calling us to be and not just to do. Because people that are trying to do will fail miserably. Believe that today? Have you ever tried to do something and you failed? Try to do a diet and just you did it maybe 1 day, 2 days, but the third day you're eating ice cream at night. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? I've done it. I've tried. I put it on my phone. And then all of a sudden, man, eat that, eat, right? Why? Because you're putting a law on yourself. And I'm going to say this, the flesh rebels against law. How many people enjoy stopping at stoplights? You want to go through that sucker. You want to go through the yellow lights. You want to press it. You don't like stopping for anything. Why? Because the flesh rebels against rules. We don't serve God by rules. We serve God by love. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Our relationship is not religion. Our relationship with God, in other words, let's say it this way. It's relationship, not religion, that gets the job done.
Amen.
Amen. Every religion besides Christianity is based on a person doing good to obtain a relationship with God. When I talk to people about God, and I'm witnessing a lot out there, I will ask them, are you a Christian? And some will give their denomination. I'm a Catholic. I'm a Baptist. But what does that mean you're a Catholic? What does that mean you're a Baptist? But my question is, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Because just being confirmed in a church doesn't mean you have a relationship. Just because you are standing in a garage doesn't make you a car. Just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you're on a roll of some roster of a Christian church doesn't mean you're your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. So Jesus is the only way. So you have people in the world that think because they're not axe murderers and because they're not doing a lot of heinous things that they're okay with God. Because they're judging their morality with the morality of the axe murderers. But their morality comes very low to Jesus' morality. And so you have many people in the world that thinks they're okay. And I'm going to say this. Most people don't think they're going to go to hell. Most people, I'm talking of the world, think they're all going to make it to heaven. They don't think negative. They think pretty highly of themselves. Most people think highly of themselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm talking about the people of the world. They don't think, what? I'm not going to hell. No, man. I don't live like that. I don't, you know, cuss with those that do. You know, I don't do those kind of things. I have a religious morality, but religion won't get you there. Relationship is the only way that's going to get you to God. And that relationship moves into a place where I call fellowship. And my question to you today, not only are you in relationship through Jesus, but do you have fellowship with Him? Are you fellowshipping with the Lord? Are you spending time with God? I like what it says in Ephesians. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This scripture right here says it in a nutshell, that really people of the world that might be living a moral life cannot get eternal life. You can't get it through any other place but Jesus. Muhammad didn't die for you. Buddha didn't die for you. They're still in the grave. Jesus died for us and was raised. And so Jesus is the only way, amen, to the Father. And so when other people are trying to preach or teach a different way, most of these religions, false cults, like Mormonism, I'm saying it today, my Lord Jesus, I'm getting out there now, and Jehovah Witness, are you a Christian? I'm a Jehovah Witness. I didn't see that accident. But anyway, Jehovah Witness, these people don't have Jesus as the center and the core of their relationship. They don't have relationship. They have religion. And a lot of these religions are based in pride, because unless you're a Mormon, you're not going to make it. Unless you're a Jehovah Witness, you're not going to make it. I want to say this. Unless you got Jesus, you're not going to make it. So a lot of people have religion, and it makes them comfortable, and they got pride in their religion. They got pride in what they are. I'm this, I'm that, but are you saved? That's what I'm saying today. Do you have a true relationship with God, or do you just go to church on Sunday morning and live like the devil the rest of the week? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? You got to wake up. People need to wake up in this world. They need, and that's what the grace of God will do. It will wake us up to God. Amen? I love this, because we don't do good works to obtain our righteousness with God. We do good works because we have the righteousness of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? We don't do good works. I'm not trying to earn my salvation by being up here and preaching a good sermon. No, my salvation is already bought and paid for by Jesus Christ. I'm up here because Jesus saved me. I'm up here because of what Jesus has already done for me. I got to shout it on the rooftops that Jesus saved my life, and now I'm serving Him. That's the least I can do, is serve God. Why? Because Jesus went to the cross for my sins, so I'm going to do whatever He wants me to do. So I like what it says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So I love that. So good works is an outflow of a relationship that we have on the inside. So we are compelled. Say, I'm compelled. I'm compelled to do good works. God compels us to do good works. Glory to God. And that could be blessing somebody. That could be doing something good for somebody. We had I had a phone call the other day. He gave me a call the other day, and he said, Pastor, do you want to go out to eat? I said, I think I can work that out. And he said, what would it be, steak or hamburgers? And I said, Larry, what would you prefer? Because you always want to prefer your brother. And I'm thinking, please choose steak. Please choose steak. I'm saying, either Red Wobbin, you know, or the steakhouse, Texas Roadhouse. And I'm thinking, Red Robins, Texas Roadhouse, yeah. And I said, but it's your pick, whatever you want. And what are you doing? He was doing good works. He was inviting the pastors out, and he's going to receive a reward, amen, not only in this life, but the life thereafter. Why? Because if you give a cup of water to a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. If you give water to a righteous man, you will receive a righteous man's reward. That's powerful. That's powerful, glory to God. You are going to be receiving some rewards, glory to God. Hallelujah. You're already walking in the reward. Amen. And so we need to focus on, you know, the outflow of our life with God. The grace enables us to have fellowship with the Father. Amen. And see, God empowers us to have that relationship through the blood of Jesus Christ. The next level to our relationship is fellowship, and fellowship is cultivated. Relationship, you got to believe and receive, but fellowship is cultivated. It's time spent with a person. When you spend time with a person, you develop a knowing about that person. Husbands and wives, you should know each other. You should know what they like to eat, what they don't like to eat. You should know what their favorite color and their favorite flower. You should know their birthdays. And you better not forget their anniversaries. Matter of fact, I got an anniversary coming up. I better not forget about it. Glory to God. 17 beautiful years coming up this week. Glory to God. God has done miracles. She's still with me. That's the miracle. She's, amen. She is still. That's a testament, not to me, how good I am. That's a testament how good God is. Amen. God is good. Amen. And so we're going to be celebrating that. I'm figuring out either Burger King or McDonald's or whatever we're going to go out to eat. But we'll figure out something. Glory to God. No, it'll be her favorite restaurant, whatever she wants to do. Amen. Always prefer your brothers and sisters. Amen. And your spouse. If happy wife, happy life. Is that what they say? Is that what they say? Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Ladies are saying amen on that. My God. So my question to you today is, how's your fellowship? How's your fellowship with God? How's your fellowship with other believers? And see, if we're allowing sin to come into our life, it's gonna cause us to have broken fellowship. It's going to break the fellowship with God, and it's going to break the fellowship with other believers. Sin will do that. It will break our fellowship. What is the most important? Man, I'm going to get out of my seat. What is the most important thing besides our salvation? Really, what is salvation? Some say salvation is living forever, you know, with God. And that's, yes, that's true. But true salvation, eternal life, is really knowing the Father. Amen. Jesus said eternal life is knowing the Father and knowing His Son, Jesus Christ. That it's not living forever. It's really knowing someone. That's eternal life. In other words, eternal life is relational.
Yes, sir.
It's fellowship. It's a relational. We have relation, not religion. You have to get that in your thick skull. Glory to God. We have relationship, and not religion. Amen. And so sin will break fellowship with the Father. And I love this. It says here in 1 John 1:6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Notice here, it's talking about fellowship. It mentions fellowship. If we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we are not practicing the truth. And so this tells me walking in darkness breaks fellowship. Breaks our fellowship with God. Can break our fellowship with other believers. Sin will always do that. And that's why we got to guard against sin in our life. And we got to be careful and that, you know, sin is more than just us doing sinful acts on the outside. You could have sin in your heart and not have it on the outside. What does that mean? You could have anger issues. You could have unforgiveness. You could have just an apathetic attitude towards God. An apathetic. This is powerful. I'm talking about sin today. Apathetic. You don't care about the things of God. You don't care about God. You don't care about who He is. And see, the world, their sin is a sin of not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the chief sin that will send the world to hell, not receiving Jesus as Lord and Savior. And their sin basically is connected to an apathetic view of God. They don't want God in their life. Draw near to God. And what will He do? He will draw near to you. So what does God want us to do? He wants us drawing near to Him. So if we're walking in darkness, it will break the fellowship. In Romans 8, 12 and 14, it says, therefore, brethren, we are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. If we live according to the flesh, we will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Notice it says here, by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the body. It's only by the power of the Spirit that you can break the sin cycle in your lives. It's only not by our might, not by our power, but by His Spirit, saith the Lord. And it's by the Spirit of the God that can break the sin cycle in each one of our lives. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? Glory to God. I'm telling you, God is so awesome. And so His grace empowers us to walk out of sin, amen, to walk in the light. And walking in the light is walking in the love of God. And God's love motivates us to live for Jesus every day. The world is driven by fear and pride. The Christian needs to be led by faith and love. I'm going to say again, the world is driven by fear and pride. And the world and the Christian needs to be led by faith and love in Jesus Christ. That's how we operate. How do you operate? In faith and love. That's how I operate in this life, in faith and love. And so we got to understand this, that pride shuts down the love of God in our lives. In James 4, 6, 8, it says, but He gives more grace. Therefore, He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. And then He says it this way, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Who was James talking to? Was he talking to people of the world? He was talking to backslidden Christians. He was saying that these Christians are beginning to live in the world and to start talking like the world. And they're living a life that's not congruent to being a Christian. And he says, listen, you need to draw close to God and let go of the losing world systems and start holding on to God's system. So here, God gives us grace, and His grace enables us to be humble, glory to God. And so God, humility and helps us resist pride in our lives. And humility is a trait. This is humility, is a trait that is dependent and submissive on God. If you're walking in humility, you are dependent and you are submissive to God. That's what humility is. I'm dependent and I'm submissive to God. In other words, in the natural life, when kids grow up, you want them to become independent, right? You want them to, you know, Christina will be driving in a couple years. I'm a little nervous about that. And she's 14 already. I can't believe how fast she's growing up. And in 2 more years, she's going to be driving. Oh, my Lord Jesus. And so you want your kids to become independent. But in God, if you're going to grow in God, you got to become dependent. So the more dependent you are, the more mature you are. The more dependent you are on God, the more mature you are. The less dependent, the less mature you are. In the world, it's the opposite. The more independent, the more mature. But in the life of the Spirit, see, in the life of the Spirit, it's like these opposites. You gotta give to receive. You know, you gotta go down to go up. You know, it's these opposite truths, you know. And when the kingdom of God is they call it the upside down kingdom. Why? Because the world doesn't operate the same way. So here is a humility scripture. You ready for my humility scripture today? And this is a scripture that's basically saying, I depend on God. I depend on God for everything. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. So the key is, if we're going to walk humbly before God, we have to learn to trust Him. We got to learn to trust God no matter what's going on in our lives. We got to trust God. I'm saying something happened this week that, man, I realized where I was at in my faith. I wasn't as strong as I thought I was. And Christian doesn't normally get out of the house, but he got out of the house. And we had a scooter, and he left the house, and we started looking for him. And we couldn't find him. And we started, and I was, and now we're both in two cars driving around. And we finally said, and Yin said, we need to probably call 911. And I was at a panic. I was like, where is Christian? I called my brother John. I need some prayer, you know. You and the pastor's at a panic. But we don't need it. If you are rooted and grounded in God's love, you don't panic, you praise. I'm going to say again, when you're rooted and grounded in God's love, you don't panic. And I realized something. I'm not as rooted and grounded in love as I need to. I kind of got a little shaken up. And I'm like, man, I'm not as rooted and grounded in God's love that I need. I need to be more rooted and grounded. I need to study love more. I need to get more, you know, revelation. Because you find out where you are in the crisis. I'm going to say that again. God will reveal to you where you're at when a crisis comes. See, a lot of us can talk a big talk. Oh, yeah, man, I'm going to be good when everything... Come on, devil, give it to me. Throw everything at me, right? I got it covered. You don't know what you're going to do in a crisis. You don't know how you're going to respond in a crisis. And I didn't. And I was almost hyperventilating because my kid was missing. I realized this. I realized that I really love my kid. I realized something that he makes me mad as fire at times. He gets me upset at times. He does stuff like, my Lord Jesus. But I realized, man, I really love that kid. Man, I was so upset. I didn't want to lose him. Amen. And you realize something. When you're in the crisis and you're about ready to lose something, you realize how much you love that thing that you're about ready to lose. And God can bring some revelation. God brought revelation to me in two areas. I need to be rooted and grounded more in God's love so I don't react. I should respond and not react. Thank God that Yin found Christian. I was praying, God, help me find Christian. Amen. And that's a scary place because we called 911. Amen. But they put her on hold. But, hold please. Hold please. Somebody's killing me. Hold please. But thank God you can call God. You can call on the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Glory to God. So pride. So we got fear and we got pride working. And pride is a self-will attitude that denies the power of God and promotes the power of flesh. And we need to be more in God than in our flesh. We need to be. Yeah, it says here, the next scripture says it this way. It says in Proverbs 3:7, you know, after trusting God, that's humility. So pride says it this way. It says here, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Notice this, that pride is being wise in your own eyes. Pride is saying, I know best. Pride is saying, I've studied the matter. I know how to handle things. I got things under control. I know how to deal with it. I'm street smart. That's what pride says. I'm street smart. I've been around the block. I've rode that rodeo. I think they say something like that.
It doesn't matter what you've been through. We have a devil that's coming against us, and he's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and he's going to work out any avenue he can to get you off your game. So a humble person submits himself to God. A humble person resists pride. A humble person walks with God. And I'm going to say this, that you can be as close to God as you want to be. And I think about this. You think about the 12 disciples. But you know, out of the 12 disciples, there were 3 disciples that Jesus was closer to. Have you ever thought about that? If you study out the scriptures, you'll find out there were these 3 disciples that Jesus loved the most. Glory to God. James, Peter, and John. And if you study this out, that Jesus showed James, Peter, and John more than he showed the other disciples. There was a time when Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he went up on the mountain, he just took 3 of his disciples, and the Bible says he was transfigured in front of them, and his raiment became white and sparkling and glistening like diamonds. And then Elijah and Moses appeared on that mountain, and Peter was there, and he said, "Let's make a tabernacle." You know, and of course, Peter's always speaking out of turn. Peter wasn't really rooted and grounded in God's love like he needed to be. John was rooted and grounded in God's love. Peter wasn't rooted and grounded in God's love. Peter was bold. He had some talents. He had some grace gifts. But John was the disciple that Jesus loved the most. And if you think about this, in the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus was being arrested, all the disciples ran. Peter followed closely behind Jesus, but John went in. John did not leave Jesus. Why? Because the reason why John didn't leave Jesus, John was in the praetorium. He was in the inner. He knew some people. And John didn't leave Jesus. Why? Because when you understand God's love for you, you will love God. When you get a revelation how much God loves you, you will love God. See, John, I believe, was the only disciple that was at the foot of the cross. And John was there, and Jesus spoke to John, and Mary, Jesus' mother, was standing beside John. And Mary and Jesus said, "Behold your mother, mother, behold your son," saying he understood the love. Jesus knew that John loved him, and that Jesus knew that this love, and when you love somebody, you trust somebody. See, love gains trust. And Jesus trusted John to take care of his mother. And when we're walking in the love of God, we're going to trust him. And see, when John was at the Last Supper, John was laying his head on Jesus' chest. And John had this relationship with Jesus. And why was he doing that? Well, I believe I got some revelation on that. He was listening to the heartbeat of Jesus. And I'm going to say this. When he was listening to the heartbeat of Jesus, the heartbeat of Jesus was saying, "I love you, John. I love you, John. I love you, John." And when we put our head on the breast of Jesus, he's going to say, "I love you with an everlasting love. I love you. I love you." And when we get rooted and grounded in God's love, we'll walk in the greater grace that God has for each one of us, and we won't walk in sin. We won't do anything that would hurt our Lord and Savior. We won't do anything that would hurt our fellowship. We will do everything we can to walk in God's love. I'm going to say this, and I'm closing today, that we need to be praying a prayer every day. And this prayer is in Ephesians, because I believe when we get the understanding of God's love for us, see, John was the only disciple that didn't die a martyr's death. They tried to kill him, but they couldn't. You can't kill a loved person. They say that he was boiled in oil, but they couldn't kill him, so they banished him to an island. And when you're walking in the love of God and you're giving God your love, God will reveal things to you. He will reveal secrets that you know not of. And I'm telling you, when he starts revealing these secrets, it's going to put you in a place higher than other people. And I love this, and I'm closing with this. It's Ephesians 3:17. It says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Notice here, Paul got the revelation that we need to know the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of God's love for us. And when we start asking God, God, I'm asking you that you continue to dwell in my heart, that you would root and ground me in your love, that I would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of your love towards me. Father, root and ground me in your love. And perfect love casts out fear. And when you're walking in perfect love, you're not going to panic. You're going to praise. And when you're under the pressure cooker of life, you're what's going to come out of you, it's going to be praise instead of panic. When you're rooted and grounded in God's love, nothing will be able to stop you. You will walk this life triumphant in Christ every day of your lives. So I'm going to say this, get rooted and grounded in God's love. And that perfect love will cause you fear to be cast out. And with no fear, all faith. When fear knocks on a door, faith answers and no one's there. Glory to God. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I just thank you that you're helping us, Father God, that you're rooting and grounding us in your love. Jesus, you are the lover of our souls. Jesus, you love us with an everlasting love. And I thank you and for revealing your love to us. Perhaps you're here today, perhaps you're listening or watching, and you have never experienced the love of Jesus. Well, today is the day you can do that. To experience that love, you must make him Lord and Savior. So just pray this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.